Folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton. You know what would really be cool? How would you like to say that you were the one that harvested the world record typical whitetail buck? That's a distinction that's just amazing to me. Our guest today is Milo Hansen, that back in 1993 did just that. If you look in the Boone and Crockett record book, Milo has the number one scoring typical whitetail. Milo, thank you a lot for spending some time with us, buddy.
Good morning, Luke.
I've talked to you a whole bunch, and I know that that November day back in 1993, about 11 o'clock in the morning, that is ingrained in your memory banks forever, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'll forget lots of things, but that'll probably stick in there, I think.
Well, Milo, you don't sound like you're from around these parts. Tell us where you hail from, buddy.
Yeah, I'm from Bigger Saskatchewan, Canada. We're about 4.5 hour drive north of the Montana border. And I guess we do sound different.
Yep. Well, tell us about how that hunt unfolded, Milo. It's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Well, in 1993, during the summer, when the bus was still driving with the kids, they actually seen that deer in velvet, and the bus driver stopped, and they all looked at it, and he's not even a hunter, and it caught his attention, and he started telling people around town. So we were going to go look for that deer, but a friend of mine, Adam Ivashenko, actually went out during muzzleloader season and seen him, but he couldn't get a shot at him, and he told everybody. So that first week of hunting season, we went looking for him. And there was no fresh snow. We were rolling land with, one-third of our land is low parts with aspens and poplars. And if you have no fresh snow, it's just like forest just about, eh? So the first week, a friend of mine that I was hunting with, Walter Meager, had spotted him. And we tried to track up on him and couldn't find his tracks after a while and lost him in his rolling land. And then actually, I missed part of it on Monday morning of the open season. Our neighbor boy, Dwayne Zachary, actually hit a hunt on him. He got married on Saturday, and Sunday night his sister seen that deer, so she told him, so he postponed it to his honeymoon, and he went out for that deer Monday morning, and he actually seen him. He had to go get a friend to help him push him out of his bush. When he came out, he shot and emptied his clip and missed, and he went on his honeymoon. When he came back, he came over and he said, yeah, that's the deer I shot at. But anyway, we hunted all that week with no success. And Sundays at that time, we couldn't hunt. And Monday, I took a day off because I had to catch up on some farm work. Anyway, Monday night, it turned cold and started snowing. So we decided where were we going to meet. And John picked me up and we drove there. And when we got to Walter and Rennie, we knew something was up because their eyes were great big, and we knew that something was up. And they said they had just seen him down below with the two does, and they were on a sort of a high advantage point, and they said he hasn't came out. So we formed a drive, and this is the first time I've seen him. Rennie actually walked through that, and it's about a 20-30 acre willow run, and a lot of times, you won't walk him out of there, but by accident, he came out, and Walter actually shot at him, and John shot at him, but quite long distance and missed. And that's the first time I'd seen him, but he was running away from me, so I didn't take a shot at that time. And he went into an area where it was heavily fed overnight. The deer had been in there quite a bit. There was some leftover crop in there. And we lost his tracks for a while, and by accident, we hit the bush he was in, and out he came. And this time, he went onto my land. We had to form another drive. Rennie went through, and John and myself were still side by side at that time. And he came out, and, both of our mouths just dropped, and we both shot. But I think we were looking at his horns, because neither one of us came close to him. He went into another bluff there, and I ran up and I could see him came out, and Rennie pushed him out. And this time he came out my side and I took the shot, and he was running away from me again, but I took the shot and I hit the top of his back, and it skipped along his back, fur flying, and the bullet landed, part of the bullet landed in his horn, and he stumbled down. He got back up from the shock and he went back into another bluff, and I ran up there and I could see him. So I shot and I got him in the shoulder. So anyway, I went in there and he was still alive. So I shot him in the neck and everybody's hollering, "Did you get him? Did you get him?" So I came out and I was just shaking like a leaf, you know. He's 29 inch outside spread, and that's the same as my legs just about. So I hadn't had a cigarette for like 3 years, and I said, "Give me a cigarette." I mean, you know what that did to me.
Yeah, I can see that would be, that would get your blood pumping, Milo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, man, so, that's just I know that created a lot of attention, not only locally there, around your home in Saskatchewan, but worldwide. You know, I wonder next week, Milo, if you'll get back with us, and let's talk about how the impact that harvesting a deer like that has made on your life through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Make sure and tune in next week. We're going to have some more fun talking outdoors. High Plains Outdoors is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, BigGame.org, Texas Motor Cars, a new way to shop for your next car or truck, Sniper Hog Lights, lights for your bow, rifle, or crossbow, Margaret Holmes, seasoned canned goods that taste just like homemade, New Fletch Archery. With New Fletch, you'll never have to fletch arrows again, and Shock Strap, a new way to secure loads without using ratchets.